So have you ever walked into a place where everyone knows each other except for you? You're the only one that doesn't know someone. Maybe it's a meeting at work for the first time, a new job, maybe a mom or dad's group. Maybe you've taken your kid to join a youth sports organization and you're the newbie and everyone else is cluttered together and you're kind of an outsider. Maybe it's a wedding or a party where the only person you know is the host. But has that happened to you? Have you ever been in a situation like that? Well, when someone walks into a church for the first time, it can feel that way. When someone walks into Manor Church for the first time, it can feel that way. People walking into a place like this may not always walk in empty-handed. They may come with an invisible checklist. They don't announce it. They don't show it to anyone, but it's there, but it's there. And in the very first minutes of their visit, they're silently checking boxes. Did anyone notice me? Was it awkward? Do I fit in? Do I feel judged? Is this a place where I could belong? Is this place about politics or money or Jesus? Did anything speak to my real life? Did anyone connect with me personally? Did I encounter God? Can I see myself coming back? How might I get involved? Does this church care about me? Does it care about our community? Well, that's quite a checklist, and so much of it is true for so many people that walk through our doors. As Bo said at the opening, during 2026, one of our vision initiatives here at Manor Church is to serve strong, celebrating and cultivating greater service opportunities. And throughout this year, we'll take several Sundays to highlight what it means to serve strong in and through Manor Church. That's what our focus is today, to serve strong, because it is all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. See, Jesus modeled for us how to serve. And today we're going to be exploring some examples in Scripture that show us how Jesus served and why it's important and how those examples can lead us well in serving others. Today we're specifically focusing on two Serve Strong areas within our church community. One is our First Impressions team, and the other is our Celebrate Columbia focus. I am passionate about both of these areas because I've seen God do amazing things in both of these areas. So as we explore this theme today, I want you to consider this, what it means to serve strong. What is Jesus saying to you about serving, about walking in his footsteps? That's what I want you to consider this morning. What is Jesus saying to you about serving, about walking in his footsteps? Let's pray and then we'll dive in. God, thanks so much for your presence here this morning. Help us put distractions aside. May my words be from you, and may we focus on what you have for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at the book of Romans. I'm going to invite you to go there. If you have your Bible app, Seatback Bible, the scripture is going to be on the screen as well. And we're going to dive into the book of Romans. This is in the New Testament. It's a letter from Paul to the people in Rome. And he's telling the people about the promise, the righteousness of God, and that salvation comes through his son, Jesus Christ. And then later in the book, Paul's giving very practical steps for everyone to understand what it means to live out this life like Jesus. So Romans 15, verse 1, let's start there. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter. And not just do what is convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us need to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but he waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way Scripture puts it. And even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it is written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he may do next. May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you can get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us. Then we'll be a choir not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus. These verses, they call us to imitate Jesus by embracing radical, self-sacrificial hospitality to others. Paul is emphasizing that we are to build others up rather than self-pleasing. We are to provide hope. We are to welcome others to glorify God with us. In verses 1 and 2, we learn that if we're strong and able, we are to use our strength to serve others instead of using our strength to just please ourselves. The strength we are given is not for our own status. This should not be about us. This is not about us, but the people around us, the people that God puts in our path, to care for them, to love them, to help them. And see, Paul points out the way to true happiness and fulfillment in life. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off yourself. Stop taking the easy way out. Start building others up and see what happens. It's really simple to say. It's a little bit more challenging to do. It's a challenging call to simply put others first, to put our neighbors first. Paul later wrote almost the same thing in Philippians 2, 3, and 4. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." You know, it's way too easy, especially in our culture, to tear others down, to see what's going on socials, to be self-centered, and to ignore those around you. But Paul says, follow the example of Jesus. That's how we should live. Be humble. Care about others. Put others first. Lift others up. Serve them. I love this next part from Romans 15. It says, that's what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but he waded right in and helped out. He waded right in and helped out. Serving is one way the church, us, followers of Jesus, practice hospitality as a form of common grace. Loving our neighbors before they believe, before they belong, before they behave. Yeah, loving our neighbors before they believe, before they belong, before they behave. Because of the love of Jesus. Because of the love of Jesus. We can love others with his style of love. We can serve others and have that same mindset of Jesus. So how do we practice this? How do we make this part of our lifestyle? That's the hard part. Easy to say, tough to put into practice. Well, there are so many ways and so many gifts that work together within the body for the glory of God to serve him. And so many of you are already putting those gifts to work, and I thank you. You are making a difference. Thank you. You're making a kingdom difference as you serve others. As I mentioned earlier, we're highlighting two areas today that can help us practice this, that we can live this out. One way is to serve others through first impressions. First impressions. Remember that invisible checklist people have when they walk through our door? We know that first impressions can leave a lasting impression, and we want every person that walks through our doors to feel comfortable, to feel welcome, to sense that they belong, to sense that they belong. That's why we have a first impressions team. From the parking lot to the front doors to the greeters, connectors, information desk, cafe team, ushers, they all make a difference. Each smile, each introduction can make a difference. And I'm so grateful for those of you that serve in that team and how faithful you serve and the difference that you make. You're an important part of making this work, making people feel welcome and sensing the love of God. Well, the truth is, if you're not formally on the team, you are on the first impressions team because you're a follower of Jesus. You're part of the larger team. And you make first impressions all throughout your life. You make them here at church. You make them in your community, at your school, maybe in your grocery store, maybe at a sporting event, you make a lot of first impressions. Maybe driving. What about your attitudes, your interactions, your actions with others? I know we can all do better. It's a big step to do that. It's not just first impressions. It's second and third and lasting impressions and chance impressions, everything. My mother attends church here, and I take her home most Sundays, and we go down Sites Road through the one-lane tunnel underpass, if you're familiar with that. And you kind of get to the tunnel and you glance to see if anyone's coming, and if not, it's your turn to go. Well, I glanced and nobody was coming, and I went, and sure enough, there was someone on the other side patiently waiting, and they let me know. And I'm sure I made an impression on them as the hands were going in the mouth, and I didn't feel good about it. It wasn't intentional, but it's amazing, you know. Chances are that in Manor Township, I may have known the person too, but we've just got to be aware. We've got to be aware, all of that stuff. And it's recoverable, of course, too, but we make impressions. And you may say, I never signed up to be part of that, but as a follower of Jesus, you did. If you accepted Jesus to be Lord of your life, and our aim is to be more and more like Jesus, it matters what we do with our actions, our attitudes. There was a recent survey conducted that asked people why they are not a Christian. Two common answers were this: I don't know any Christians. And the second was, I know Christians. Ouch. Ouch. Wow, what an indictment. First, lack of exposure, no connections. How does that happen? And the second, the hypocrisy of people of faith. A primary reason for rejecting Christianity is often not a lack of knowledge, but rather that non-Christians do not see a distinct positive difference in the lives of those that claim to be Christ followers. Wow, they don't see a difference in the lives of us that claim to be Christ followers. How about you and me? Wow, how do we handle that? What do we do with that? A good first impression, you know, will lead to more opportunities to get to know someone, to serve someone, to love someone, and to show them the love of God. Because remember, this is all about Jesus, to be like Jesus. So how do you live that out? What will you do differently even today before you leave here? What will you do differently as you're driving out of this place, maybe heading to lunch, maybe this afternoon doing something? What will change for you? How can you be more aware? How can you take a step to be more like Jesus? You know, it may be a step that impacts eternity. First impressions are important, and you can be part of that first impressions team. You can be talking to people, meeting people, getting to know what's going on in their lives. It's a wonderful thing that can make a difference. The second serve area this morning we're focusing on is what God is doing through our Celebrate Columbia work. Same principles, using our strength to put others first, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Back in April 2014, 12 years ago, Manor Church gathered a group of interested parties from the church and from the Columbia community. It included borough government, it included people from the school district, social service sectors, business leaders, residents, really anyone that was interested in being part of it, to come together. I remember the meeting. It was held in the Turkey Hill Experience. It was a wonderful start to our Celebrate Columbia initiative. And that birthed what's now gone on for 12 years. And the goal was really to explore how to come alongside the people in Columbia and help out. This was never about a handout. It was about a hand up, a hand up. Since that time, hundreds and hundreds of lives have been impacted because of the grace of God, because of the grace of God. And we give him all the glory for that. Over the years, this impact has been felt in so many sectors in Columbia, from the school district to the local government, various residential communities and neighborhoods, social service agencies, those that are both faith-based and those that are not. And the list is quite extensive. And it's not because of us. Hear me, friends. It's not because of us. It's because of Jesus. This is following the example of Jesus in taking on the troubles of the troubled. This is showing grace and love in a way that Jesus showed it to us. You know, we don't create grace, but we can create space for people to experience it. We don't create grace, but we can create space for people to experience it. That space is when people show up here, and it's when we go to wherever people are. We serve people that are made in the image of God. It's the intentionality of being aware, paying attention, of watching, eyes wide open, seeing what's going on all around us, of acting, boots on the ground, praying, serving, being present. This is about joining in with what Jesus is doing in our church and in our community. And remember, it's all about Jesus and his life and his love and his work flowing through us. So what is Jesus saying to you about serving, about walking in his footsteps? Gabby's going to come, and she's going to sing a reflection song. If you were here right when we opened the service, the band did this song kind of as a pre-service introduction, and it's a new song. And what I'm going to ask you to do during this time is just sit there and listen. The words aren't going to even be on the screen. You can be prayerful. You can sit there and think. You might daydream. I don't know. But I want you to think about what God may be saying to you. How can you walk in his footsteps today? How can you express this incredible love of Jesus in a new way today, this week, this month? To live it out, to be fresh, to be new, and to love people in that incredible way that Jesus loves us. Let's thank Gabby for giving us that song. And I'm going to invite Nicole and Bonnie to come join me on the stage. We have some special friends today. They're going to be part of the next part of the service. And they're going to come up here, and we're going to hear a little bit from them and what serving has meant to them, what these teams of our First Impressions team and Celebrate Columbia has meant. Come on up, guys, have a seat. Yeah, see you waving to everybody, huh?
Love it.
Love it, awesome, that's great. Well, thank you both for being part of the services this morning, and it was a pleasure hearing what you had to share at 9 o'clock. I'm anxious to hear what you have again to say this hour. And we're going to start with introductions, though, because a lot of the people out here would not know who either of you are, maybe. But go ahead. So, Nicole, why don't you introduce yourself, and then Bonnie.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nicole Mingle. I've been coming to Manor maybe since 2023, 2024, a handful of years. I transplanted to Lancaster from New Jersey in 2021, and I came here alone, not really any family, just really wanted to come live here. I currently work a remote job, which is such a blessing, and when I'm not, or before that too, I also participate in the Manor Misfits group, and sometimes you might see me in the Connections Cafe. And then when I'm not doing church stuff or doing work stuff, I also do pottery as a hobby.
Yeah, her pottery's beautiful. I've seen much of it. So. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be here today. My name is Bonnie McSherry, and I work for HDC Mid-Atlantic, and we provide low affordable housing throughout Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Delaware. I am the resident service coordinator at St. Peter's, and I live in Conestoga with my husband, Jack, and my daughter, Christina.
Awesome. Thanks, Bonnie. So, Nicole, we're going to start with you, and since you're new in the mix, you shared with me about your experience as a first-timer, a newcomer coming, and what that felt like to you and some of the things we were talking about. So tell us how you found the church, what happened when you landed here the first time, and just, yeah, share with us.
Yeah, so after I moved here, I hadn't been going to church for quite a while, so there just came a point where I was like, okay, it's time to find a new church for myself, and I then did no further research. I drove past Manor a few times, especially going towards like the Enola Trail and places that I liked to hang out outside. And I was like, okay, there's a church. So I decided to come in cold, just knowing what time I had to be here, no real expectations set. And there were some things I was definitely nervous about, like I had no idea what kind of service or anything about it. So my plan was basically to come in here and, like with many other churches I had been to, just like come in, beeline right to where I was going to sit, and then leave at the end of it. But when I came here for the first time, I remember specifically when I was greeted, not just like, hi, hello, how's it going, but like really being stopped and the person introducing themselves, like asking me about myself. And that was a really interesting interaction that stuck with me. It felt more personal. It felt like something that could have been scary. Usually I had been avoiding those types of interactions, but it was something that was initiated with me, and in that moment, I was like, oh, okay, this isn't very scary. Like, I now have a better understanding of the other people here, which was something that you account for when you come in for the first time. And then, Brian, we didn't talk about this, but can I also share sure. about, like, the follow-up interaction that I had?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Okay. So I also want to talk about other times I was here. So I think maybe, like, the next week or maybe even after that same service, can't quite remember, had talked with the same person who greeted me, and we just had further conversation. They asked me, you know, why I was here, why I chose Manor, if I wanted to be more involved, if there was the specific young adults group I wanted to be involved with. I said, like, yeah, of course. They asked, oh, do you want to meet the person who's involved with it? They have an event coming up. I'm like, oh, yeah, definitely. And then they walked me right over to that person. So I walked out of church that day with someone's number, connecting directly with somebody else. And then I think it was the next, like, Saturday or the next weekend, I was in that person's home in their group and getting to know everyone in the group, having a game night in somebody's home, which could have been a really scary thing to do. I think I was lying to myself the entire time I was there, like, this is fine, this is good, I'm doing a great job. but I generally had such a fun time. I didn't feel like I was on any sort of pedestal as, like, a new person. It was just a really fun event. And then I think I may have actually burned myself out doing that because I didn't come back for a few weeks. So I remember the very next time I had come in, somebody from the young adults group came up to me after the service and was like, oh, hey, Nicole, haven't seen you for a few weeks. Like, how you've been, like, we've been wondering if you, like, how you were. And I was like, oh, shoot, like, I'm not just a random person and people care about me, and that's wild. So that is something that the buildup of all of that was so impactful for me as somebody who was new coming here.
That's cool. Thanks for sharing that. And wasn't sure what you were going to say, so it's yeah. great. It's great to hear. But you said two key things. One is you came back, which was good. But when you came back, someone remembered your name. Huge, huge people. I mean, if we can remember people's names, that's statistics show how important that is. And because they're important, if you can remember somebody's name, you know, hard to do, but it's great to do that. And the concept of introducing people to other people, you know, we do this all together. We're a body together. So we take people, we introduce them to other people and share the joy. It's a joy to get to know people. It's a joy to share that responsibility. And so thanks for that. You know, there's statistics that say that people make a decision the first 7 minutes of entering a church of whether they're going to come back. That checklist we talked about at the beginning, you know, they're answering a lot of those questions, ticking those boxes. And, you know, people have not probably been in a space, a service may have not started, they might not have heard music or a sermon or anything, and they're making that decision. So first impressions are really important. And did that work for you that way? Were those first minutes significant?
I think so. There's a lot of things that are going on in your head when you're walking in for the first time. You're trying to get a lay of the land of the space. I see, like, a coffee bar over there. Like, where's the actual sanctuary? Where am I going? So along with all of that navigation, there's also the people aspect. So kind of checking that off the list right away of, like, okay, I don't know what to expect with that. We're jumping right into that. Oh, that's something I was a little unsure of, and already it's now crossed off the list as something that I have to do, or sure. is something that's scary. Like, we're already past that, and now we're getting to the rest of it.
I think it's important to remember that we were all new at one point as well, and so that's just a principle. We forget that, and so somebody reached out to us, somebody welcomed us, and so how do we do that well? Thanks so much for sharing. Bonnie, I remember, like, cold calling you in 2023 for the first time and saying, hey, Bonnie, this is Manor Church, we're calling, and we'd like to talk about coming and serving in your community. And I remember that. And you've seen so many wonderful groups and organizations go through St. Peter Apartments and serve over the years. And there's this quote I like from Mother Teresa, and it goes like this: not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. That was our intention in coming to meet with St. Pete's and meet with you and do that. So as you think about even that quote, what are some of the small things we can even do now and that have been happening that show the love of Jesus to your residents?
Well, you did meet them with great love, and part of that is meeting people where they are, and they feel so comfortable. I was told how friendly and sincere you are when you come, and it's also the gift of time. You know, just to come in and have a cup of coffee with someone. Recently, Brian and Lynn and Mike came and played the guitar, and John came, and we had some desserts and just talked. And the residents totally enjoyed that. So it's the gift of time. It's, you know, just showing them some kindness, because like Brian said, all people want to do is feel accepted and belong.
Bonnie, what do you see happening across your community because of people giving time, showing up, loving, caring, being the hands and feet of Jesus? What changes are you seeing take place?
I see that kindness having an impact and growing. It's just passed on. When someone is in an environment where they're treated kindly and respectfully, and they're having fun, right? They're with other people, they're having fun, they have something to share. That goes throughout the building. You know, they're meeting the next person and they're saying, oh my gosh, I had such a great time, or hey, can I help you with that? They're feeling better about themselves, they're feeling happier, and the environment is more positive.
Awesome. I know you mentioned several times to me about the trust factor between your residents and the people that have gone and served there and how that's been growing. What would you like to share? What would be helpful for us to know about the importance of the trust factor?
Well, I think also because of the kindness and, like I said, meeting them where they are, treating everybody the same, and always making people feel welcome. You know, sitting next to them, just having a friendly conversation, you know, finding out about people, enjoying your time with them, giving people the sense that you really want to be there. And the trust factor grows over time. That, yes, hey, they said they're coming on Wednesday evenings, and they're coming. That, you know, and that's great. We can always count on that. And it's again, that they feel comfortable being with everyone. And like I said, that grows over time. And definitely, we are so grateful for the Manor Church and all that they have done. We truly have established that at St. Peter's.
That's awesome. Praise God for that. Now, I'd like you both to answer this. And, Bonnie, you can go first. What do you want to say to the church? What can you say that's going to challenge us, encourage us to be more and more like Jesus and sharing his love and serving out of his love? What do you want to share?
Well, when Brian came to see me and he offered, he said about doing a dinner at St. Peter's. And I had been praying of how to provide for my residents a Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. And first I was surprised. Then I had like hope, and I had excitement and happiness. And I believe that that's how Jesus serves. That's what Jesus provides to us. He provides us the hope and the happiness and the will to go on and provides the unexpected gifts. So I thank you all for serving, and you know, I can't say enough about how you serve like Jesus.
Now, Bonnie, after first service, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I touched base with you and said, did you need anything? You said, I forgot one thing, and that's that when after the first encounter, then you were praying for that dinner, that you got up and danced around your desk. So
I was a little embarrassed to share that. I got up and danced around the desk and said, thank you, God.
That's awesome. Yeah, putting our praise the right way. Thank you, God, for providing that way. Okay, awesome. Thanks. Nicole, challenge and encouragement to us.
Yeah, I think going back to the one experience I had with the greeter who was asking the follow-up questions to me about what I wanted to be involved in or where I was looking to get plugged in, and how they really listened and then was active in helping me get there, even walking me right over to somebody in that moment and introducing me. So not just connecting with people, but asking them questions, really listening, and then taking that extra step that's could be really scary of being active in whatever they're trying to accomplish and how they're trying to grow.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much both for what you do, the way you serve, the way you let God work in your lives, for being part of this morning and sharing. And I hope for all of us it was encouraging and you can learn something and you could even say, hey, I can do that. I can take those steps. So let's thank Nicole and Bonnie for serving this way this morning. And as I mentioned at the beginning, in 2026, one of our vision initiatives here at Matter Church is to serve strong, celebrating and cultivating greater service opportunities. We aim to have 50 more people this year, 50 more people serving in new ways. Now, how do you do that? How do you learn more? Well, you see a QR code on the screen. If you want to pull out your camera and scan the code, you can. There's also a display board out in the lobby, and that display board has lots of ways you can serve. There's some small cards out there you can grab. This has the QR code on it as well. This lists dozens and dozens and dozens of ways that you can serve, because it's all about Jesus. Because you have gifts to use, and where to use them to help others see who he is and to bring glory to God. So we encourage you today to consider what it means to serve. And we'd love to explore with you. If the card isn't your thing, the QR code or looking it up, come talk to one of our church staff. We'd love to journey that in that way with you. You know, you might not have any idea where to start. It might be, wow, what is God saying to me? Where am I passionate? Where do I want to serve? And just know that trying something new, you know, you're not going to be just a warm body. You're not signing up to do some job forever, but you're signing up to live a lifestyle that imitates Jesus, a lifestyle that imitates Jesus, to go somewhere that where Jesus would go, to love in a new Jesus kind of way, to put others first. So here's a couple of things to consider as we close. Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus didn't come to be served, he came to serve. That's our ultimate example. How are we going to serve? What are we going to do? You know, we don't start with answers, we start with presence. We can't change people, but we can change how they are treated. We don't fix people, but we can welcome them, we can love them. We can't make faith happen, but we can create an environment where people trust and people feel safe. We show up with kindness and we let God do the rest. And when we serve together, the grace of God becomes visible. The grace of God becomes visible. We don't create grace, but we can create space for people to experience it. We love and we serve because it reflects God's posture toward people, and we believe that people experience God through people. So what is Jesus saying to you about serving, about walking in his footsteps? What will you do differently today or this week? We're going to have one closing song, and I'm going to pray for us first, and then we're going to sing and have a song, and it will be wrapped up for the day. So join me as we pray to wrap up. God, thanks so much for your presence with us today. Thanks for the things you're doing, the work you're doing in and through this place. Thank you for Nicole and Bonnie and the way that they serve and love. Thank you for the teams that serve here, our First Impressions team, all the teams that are out even serving in places right now. We thank you for the heart of service. Thank you for the opportunity we have as a church to take that love that you've given us beyond this place. Thank you for what you're doing in Columbia. Help us to be bold. Help us to be brave. Help us to live out your kind of love in all kinds of new ways this week. Work in our lives. Show us what you want us to do. And God, we give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.